So this is Mary Ingleby interviewing Reggie Norton on the 23rd of August 2013. So Reggie, if we just begin by you introducing yourself to me.
Right, I am Reggie Norton, the only son of Henry, known as Harry Norton. And my mother was Anita Norton, but her maiden name was Stagnetto. And I was born in 1933 in November. I have a sister called Nita, who is still alive. She's 81 and she lives in Gibraltar. I'm married to Emily Morton, and we have two children, a boy called Tommy, who has married to a very nice Indian girl called Nita, and a child of about 21 months called Amiya, and I have a daughter called Natalia, who is married to Philip Harris, who is runs a vineyard, and she has a daughter of four called Isla, and a son of two called Frank.
Thank you, that's fantastic. So let's just start with your family.
Yes.
And maybe you could start with talking a little bit about your grandfather, who I think you mentioned.
I didn't know, of course, my mother's grandfather. My mother's parents I didn't know at all because they both died before I was born. And I don't really remember very much about my father's parents. I remember seeing them in Gibraltar very vaguely before the war, because what happened, of course, was that I would be taken to go and see them. When the war broke out, I was only six. I remember being told, then, of course, when the war broke out, they went to Tangier, and we went off in other directions, and they both died in Tangier, so I never saw them again. So I haven't got really any really firm recollection of them, except knowing that
Were they both Gibraltarians?
They were both Gibraltarians. My grandfather was the eldest son of John Norton, and he was the one who had arrived in Gibraltar, I suppose, in the 1860s, 1870s, like that. And they were Gibraltarian. He came from my great-grandfather came from Lewes in Sussex. And on my grandmother's side, though, she was called Helen Fava. And she came from an Italian family from Genoa. They were chip chandlers. And they had come, I suppose, a generation before to Gibraltar. And in fact, they had then gone and lived in La Linea. And there was a place there called La Huerta Fava, which is a farm of Fava. She belonged to that family. There was another unmarried one who used to come to Gibraltar, who was still the man working for the chip chandler firm in Genoa. And they used to bring food over from Genoa to Gibraltar. So she grew up really in La Linea. I don't know whether, in fact, she went to school in La Linea or whether she went to school in Gibraltar. But I've always sort of considered her to be a Gibraltarian.
Mm. Right, thank you. So I've got here grandfather John Robert Norton, is that right?
No.
Ah.
No, my grandfather was Henry James Stephen Norton.
Ah.
And my father was Henry John Stephen Norton.
Oh. Okay, so John Robert Norton may have nothing to do with Reggie,
It may be just the records.
Yeah, well, we've got some records from in Gibraltar, and it says grandfather John Robert Norton, colonial governor, 1899.
No.
No, not 1899. What have I written down there? Something.
No, I mean, your grandfather was chief
My father,
Indian
yes.
Revenue.
My grandfather was chief revenue inspector.
Yes.
Yeah, he ended up with the Mayors.
Right.
Yes, yeah.
In the 1930s.
I think he retired in... I've got the case they gave him as a present when he left, actually. I think it was 1927 or something like that.
Yes.
That he retired.
I think that they said that first appointed to colonial service in 1888 or something.
That's what and it was.
Yes.
So that's just the way they've got their...
Yes.
How they document it. Yes.
Colonial service, and then appointed to chief inspector of revenue in 1930. Yes.
So he died after that, did he? Right.
Right.
Okay. So did you get any thing from your parents about what your grandfather did? You were talking in your memoirs about some of your grandfather's...
Yes, yes. My father. My father told me various stories. He was a... There are two stories that I think I wrote about, and that is, the first one is that he was very, very careful with government property and always wanted to do everything as cheaply as possible so as not to incur any expenses to the government. And in those days, there used to be young boys who were hired to go out with little leaflets announcing what was going to be in the cinema and the theatre. So he used to stop them, grab a lot of them, cut them in two, and use those bits of paper on the blank side to give his orders for all the people that he had to give orders to who were in the dock in order to save the government money. And then the other thing that he did was he was the person in charge of the Order of Foresters, and that was the sort of medical, the way that people looked after their it was like medical insurance. If you belonged to the Order of Foresters, you paid in so much a month or a week, I don't know what it was, and that was noted down. So if then you became ill, or your children became ill or something, and you needed medicines or you needed to see a doctor or something, you know that you could go to them and get whatever money you needed in case you didn't have any cash yourself in order to pay it like that. And my father says that my grandfather was a very good man. He was always thinking of doing good and doing things to people. He was a Protestant. He was also a Mason. He was very important in the Masonic world, and was I've got the document there, was a sort of chief superintendent or something of the Masons in Scotland. And one of his tasks was, in fact, this business of the insurance thing there. And then he told me the story of how at one annual general meeting, he went there, and my grandfather was presenting the account, and he suddenly got all these people criticizing him. Well, he'd done it for years and years and years, and my father was a young man and not likely to take that sort of thing lying down. You know, got hold of my grandfather, lifted him up, got hold of the account books, threw them at the committee, and walked out with him. More or less saying, you know, you really don't deserve to have this man as your treasurer. Instead of thanking him, you're criticizing him when he was very meticulous in everything. I've got a book there of his, where all the letters he sent to the government, he copied into this book. I've got the thing there showing how he was so meticulous and so, you know, always wanted to do things absolutely right. So in that sense, from what my father said, he's always, in a sense, been an example to me, you know.
So your father told you a lot about him?
My father told me all that about him. Yes, he'd said about my grandmother, he said that the one story he said was that whenever anyone was ill and the doctor came, she would say, as the doctor came into the room, "Que Dios le dé acierto," which means, "May God guide him," you know, "May God sort of guide his diagnosis so that we get the right one." She wasn't very happy that the doctors always would get the right diagnosis and find out what people were really suffering from. So she thought that needed a little intervention from God to help him along. That's about the only thing, really. I mean, what I do remember is that I used to go to the Huerta farm in La Línea. I remember that after the war, actually, when they'd already gone, because we still had contacts with our family there. And it was a big farm right in the middle of La Línea. So big, in fact, that they were compulsorily had to sell, because, in fact, it wouldn't have been able to get... La Línea couldn't have expanded. It would have had this huge farm in the middle. So they, unfortunately, there when that happened, they all went off to live in Malaga. But I used to go there, and there they had a tremendous... you know, things to do with the farm building and all the rest, and horses. And the thing that my father, actually, I haven't put that down in my memoirs, that the thing my father used to tell me was that when he was a young man, he used to go there and borrow a horse, and then he would ride in La Línea along the beach and go in different places, which has an interesting sidestep too, because I think that in doing that, he used to meet up with Spanish army officers who were also riding. So because he had that connection with La Línea through that, and because, so therefore, you know, he was more accepted by the Spaniards, and because he met with these officers, many of whom later, you know, reached higher rank and all the rest of it, he always had a fantastically good relationship with the Spanish army. And I got letters, you know, from the Spanish thing thanking him for all of the things that he did. It became very, very useful, especially when later on he became the diplomatic secretary.
Relations like that would have been enormously important during the war.
Very important. I mean, he was able to solve problems for our governor and the governors, whoever the governor was, and especially sometimes the Spaniards would get a little bit nervous. For example, when suddenly our aerodrome filled up with thousands of fighter planes and bombers and stuff, because this was just before Operation Torch, the Spaniards were afraid that we were going to invade them. You know, so he had to go off to the governor of Algeciras and the rest of it and show him that this had nothing to do with Spain.
Your grandfather?
My father.
Your
father. No, my father. My grandfather was in Tangier, my father, and sort of say, don't worry about this and all the rest of it. And they knew that they could get in touch with him, you know, when they had any particular sort of worry like that, because he would be able to. He had this very good relationship. Because he was a man who sort of got on well with people. But the other thing is he'd known many of them when they were majors and, you know, and colonels and all the rest of it. And now many of them were generals and things like that. So he had a very good relationship
really
like
important.
That.
And so what was... he was born in Gibraltar, your father?
Yes, he was born, yes.
And your mother as well?
My mother too, yes. My mother's family is slightly different because my grandfather there was Luis Stagneto, who you've still got the Stagneto shop there, 41 Main Street. My grandfather came from a family that originally was... we traced it back, and originally they were in Sicily. Then apparently, I think it's the same one, they had gone to Malta. But then my grandfather's father, had gone off to Tunis. And he was connected in some way with the building of the Suez Canal. I'm not quite sure what. I think he had one of the contracts, either for providing food or for a kind of accommodation to all the workers and all the rest of it. And he had several sons. And those sons decided to leave Tunis and seek their own fortunes in different places. My grandfather stopped in Gibraltar and started up this tobacco business. He was one of these people who was an incredible worker. He knew his stuff and all the rest of it, but also... My mother used to tell me, you know, he was up at 6 o'clock every day. And he'd go down to the harbour and find out, you know, what things were arriving for the firm. So he was on top of everything that went on like that. And he made so much money that he bought lots and lots of buildings in Gibraltar. So he had quite an estate, which part of which still exists. So many of the owners have dropped out because there have been so many. They've sold out. And one thing and another. And that firm still exists, and it's, in fact, it then went into drink and into chocolate and into all sorts of things. But they know their stuff as far as tobacco is concerned. And he had like the Russos, and they had a tobacco factory. They used to, this was a very important part of their trade, they used to import tobacco, I think, from Cuba in leaf, and this was made and elaborated and made into small packets, which very good tobacco, very, very cheap, which then all the Spanish workmen, we used to have about 14,000 coming in at that time, you know, would buy and would use them to rolling their own cigarettes.
And this factory was in Gibraltar?
And that was in Gibraltar, yes. It was an Irish town, in fact. It was an Irish town. And there was, and the Russos had one too. And I think the Vasquezes might have had one too. There was about three of them. As the same way as the Saccarellos had and still have tobacco, coffee, and elaborate their own coffee there. And when you go to Saccarellos Cafe...
And Dudley Gowing, who you used to talk about the tobacco leaf coming in and it being converted to cigarettes. And obviously the Spanish trying to smuggle some of it back over the border.
That's right, yes. Well, of course, what many of them did is they just bought a packet every day, you know. And then, of course, you like you are bound to have everywhere, you know, get the odd one who wants to make more money out of it and all the rest of it. And in fact, I've just been reading things about what's happening in Gibraltar now.
It's still going on.
and what's happening is, in fact, is that people are so haven't got jobs and all the rest of it. You know, they can make a little by taking in two or three packets or a packet or, you know, of cigarettes. They can make a lot of money, and they can keep themselves going like that. And that's why the smuggling has gone on. So in a way, they should leave it, because it's saving the Spanish government money to otherwise they would have to sort of keep these people going somehow, you know.
But it's really interesting because this these businesses in Gibraltar was the first start of the Gibraltar economy, really, wasn't it? Importing tobacco coffee.
And the coffee, yes.
It was the first strands post-colonial, you know, in the colonial era of Gibraltar developing its own economy.
Yes, yes. Of course, we had to do that. And then, of course, I was telling you my great-great-uncle, Fava, you know, who was a ship chartering firm. I mean, they were bringing stuff into Gibraltar, you know, to sell to ships, you know, and all the rest of it. So that was another part of it. But I was going to say that that was my grandfather. His brothers went to Argentina. One of them died... not having married, and he was a very rich man because I think he was involved in the setting up of the railways in Argentina. He lived in Buenos Aires. I think he got the wooden bits that he had to do that. But then the other one went to Tucumán, San Miguel de Tucumán, and one of them, I don't know whether it was the original one, another one, became the governor of that province. In fact, and we still have family there, and we're in contact with them, and they come over now. So that goes right back. And so that was the other part of the Stagneto family there. And on my father's side, I think they had someone who went to Pernambuco to live there. I don't know who that was.
Where's that?
I think it's in it's either Brazil or one of the other South American countries there. So we had quite a lot of family going in that direction. And then my grandmother, John Norton, my great-grandmother, was from Ronda. She was called Catalina Dominguez. She was from Ronda. But what we've discovered recently, it was rather extraordinary, actually, is that her parents were... One of them was called Blanchard, and the other one was called Pujol, and they'd come from Mallorca or Menorca. Mm. And the Blanchard must have been a British soldier who, when we occupied Menorca, decided to stay there. So we have Catalan and some other English blood through the Blanchard that we really didn't know about until about two or three months ago, actually.
So real mixture.
A real mixture. I mean, yeah. I've had my DNA thing done, you know, and we sort of go right off to the Eastern Europe and all the rest of it. And that might be through the Maltese, because remember that the people there. I don't know how long with the things there. We have the Sicily connection, all the rest of it. But there must have been some of them who married Maltese people. And these Maltese people originally, the Maltese were, I think, originally Phoenicians. So it goes right back to the Middle East. So yes. It's a very...
And you're talking about the Genoese.
And the Genoese, too. Yes. And I've got my grandmother's side from Genoa. Yes, the fathers of Genoa.
You've got a very interesting DNA.
Yeah, very interesting.
Yes.